I was amazed here with just a few of the comments that Brother Steve made. It's a real good introduction to part of what we have to share here this morning. I've been thinking a lot the last week or two or three about our youth. Just this past week, we had the privilege of going back to Seymour Bible School and just taking in the Bible school program, visiting there a little bit. It had been about 4 years, I guess, since my wife and I had been there. And really enjoyed, appreciated the reconnecting there with the Bible school. I think they had about 75 students. And then we're looking forward to Cornerstone Bible School starting here in about 2 weeks. And we plan to be involved there again this year, Lord willing. And so I'm thinking about our youth. And I, you know, it's been probably a long time since I've preached a message geared particularly toward youth. And so I'd like to do that this morning. There's two words that we would like to look at that I think are very important to young people, to how they view themselves and maybe even how they view others. And these two words are strength and beauty. So we'd like to explore the thought today. And I'd just like to say at the outset here, and I'd like to say it again at the closing of the message, that God is looking this morning for strong young men. God is looking this morning for beautiful young ladies. But sad to say, there are those who may be strong physically. There may be those who are very beautiful physically that are weak and ugly in the sight of God. And so we'd like to explore these two thoughts here this morning. You know, when a child comes to the age of adolescence, there's a lot of concern as far as physical development is concerned. And on the part of both young men and young women. And so there's measures that are taken to try to enhance strength. There are measures taken to try to enhance attractiveness and beauty. But this morning I'd like to remind us again that to bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to develop those areas spiritually, not so much physically. To a young person, how I appear, how I look to my peers, is going to make a difference, at least in my mind, as to how socially acceptable I am. I'd like to think now, first of all, about strength, and then if you young ladies can just hold on a little bit, we'll talk about the beauty part here a little bit later in the message. But first of all, we want to think about strength. And I'm going to turn to Proverbs 20, verse 29, for the first verse here. Proverbs 20. Verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is a gray head." So, young man, your glory is your strength. And those of us who are older, I guess we kind of get into the category of beauty then, don't we? The beauty of the gray hair. But that wasn't the thrust of my message this morning. You know, young men like to develop big muscles. And I have experienced a little bit of that myself. I have seen it in my sons. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's not just an all-consuming drive to become a specimen of human flesh. Maybe just by way of a couple of illustrations. I don't remember how old he was. I'm going to say probably about 12 years old. A number of years ago, one of my sons, and I'm not saying which one, he was in the bathroom. And he said, I heard him call, and he said, "Hey, Dad, come look." Well, here he was admiring himself in the mirror. And as I looked, he went like this. And that was what was important to him. Brother Wilbur, you probably remember the Tangent Church's weightlifting equipment back of the church. And I don't know if I should say this or not, but you know, we did some things that were a little bit strange back in, when I was a young teenager. We had some, I don't know what you call them, they were kind of cement piers, I guess. There had been a shed that was torn down behind the church. And there were posts, and in that post there were cement, we call them donuts. They were round, probably about a foot across, and there were holes in them about 4 inches. And one of those weighed about 25 pounds. And so we got a old galvanized pipe around. It was very dangerous if you think about it now. And put two or maybe four, on a pipe and see what we could do with that. But you see, that's what young men like to do. In the Bible, I think of two young men who were very strong. I think of David. He was a young man who was out tending his father's sheep, and one day there was a lion that came, and this lion was going to tear the lambs, and rather than the lion tearing the lambs, that young man David was strong enough that he tore the lion. And the same thing happened one day with a bear. Well, we also think of Samson as being the strongest man that ever lived, and he performed feats that were of almost unimaginable. And yet, both of these strong young men had weaknesses. And particularly, we think of Samson, how he allowed his weakness for the Philistine women to ruin his work for the Lord. And so, when he was involved there with Delilah, and she was trying to figure out what made him strong, she finally asked him the question. She said, tell me wherein thy great strength lieth. Where does it lie? Well, I'd like to explore that question just a little bit from a spiritual standpoint. Where does the great strength of the young man lie? You know, I've seen a lot of advertisements, and you probably have too, you know, to buy these manuals that for physical fitness and for muscle building and so on. Well, you know, this morning we have a manual. It's right here. There's a manual for spiritual fitness, for spiritual building. All right, the first point that I have here as far as where the great strength, spiritual strength of a... Now, this is true not only of a young man, of older man, of the sisters as well. But the first requirement for strength is weakness. Now, that may seem very strong or very strange. But God is glorified not by our physical strength, but by our weakness. In other words, to sense our insufficiency, to sense our nothingness. You know, God is not able to use a young man that thinks he can conquer anything because of his physical strength. But he can use those who recognize their spiritual need. In Romans 5, verse 6, it says, "For when ye were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Also in 1 Corinthians, I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 28, thinking again of the necessity of being weak so God can make us strong. 1 Corinthians 1, 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Also in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, this seems like a paradox, but God this morning is looking for young men who are weak. Not for you to stay weak, but that he might make you strong in him. Because you see, as long as we try to run our own lives, as long as we try to do things the way we think they ought to be, as long as I am in control, then God can't really use me. He can't really make me strong. Just like Samson there, I think about that. You know, what gave Samson his strength? Well, it was God working in and through him. And so if our goal, if our motivation in life is to meet the world in my own strength, and to try to make our own way because of physical power, we're going to be a failure. God can't use you. You know, we must all come to the foot of the cross in nothingness and then allow God to make something of us. The second thing that is necessary as far as wherein your great strength lies, and that is the Spirit of God. And you know, we find that in Samson, that it was the Spirit of God that was in him that made him strong. Zechariah 4:6, when it's talking here about the word that came to Zerubbabel, who was building the temple, it says, Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I think maybe I'll also read Ephesians 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3:16 says, That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. All right. And so we need to recognize that true strength can only come to those who are filled by the Spirit of God. And then the third thing that I think of is a matter of patience. Brother Steve read from Isaiah there, and I was thinking of that verse too, that they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You know, to wait on the Lord and not take things into my own hands is a sign of spiritual strength. And you know, this isn't just for the youth. I think of those of us that are older. We need to have patience. We need to wait on God to work. You know, I think, well, I've been around a while, and I know the next move that ought to be made, and I know what needs to be done. I'm going to do it, and if I'm not careful, I run ahead of God and his plans. And you know, I've seen a well-trained dog, and I'm sure you have too, that is just anxious to go after a stick or maybe even a bird. I've seen those who have trained bird dogs. And you know, that dog is just crouched there, just his muscles tense, just waiting for that command to go and to get that thing. But he waits, and he waits until that command comes from his master, and away he goes. Are we that way? Can we control our strength, if you want to put it that way, to the point until our commander gives command? You know, young people, it's so important to you to be accepted by your age group, by your peers. And it's difficult to run contrary to what others think. There was a study done a number of years ago on a group of young people, and they told them, they said they were going to Well, what they wanted to do is find out what peer pressure does to young people. And so they told some young people, we're going to evaluate your perception. We want you to sit up front here and see what you can see. And we're going to show you some cards. And on this card, we're going to have A, B, and C lines. And there's going to be different lengths of lines on those cards. And so each card will have a long line, a short line, and a in-between line. And so when we show you a card and point to the longest line, raise your hand. And so what they did, they told 9 of the 10 what they were going to do, and the 10th one was clueless. And so they come up here with these cards, and so they point to a line that is obviously shorter than the longest line, and there's 9 hands go up, and there's this fellow that, well, I must have misunderstood. So he puts his hand up. And they said, all right, now, it's very simple. Just put your hand up when we point to the longest line. And so again, they do this. And next time they point to the shortest line. And here 9 hands go up. And this bewildered fella, again and again, that young man voted wrong. He knew it was wrong. Because he didn't want to be looked at as strange or out of the place. You know, we think that's a little bit strange, but really, isn't that our tendency? Maybe too often, I shouldn't say maybe, too often we go against that which we know to be right just so we can be accepted, just so our peers accept us. They said that in that study, 75% of those that were tried failed. I mean, they voted with the crowd. There were only 1 in 4 that was willing to say, I don't know what's wrong with the rest of you, but you're wrong. I'm going to vote for the right. But they said that if there were 2 that didn't know it, that increased the percentages of those who voted correctly. Substantially. In other words, if you have someone to stand with you, it's going to help. All right, let's go on. But you know, it takes strength. It takes strength to go against the crowd. It takes strength to say no. As I was thinking back, and I know that some of my thoughts, some of my illustrations are a little bit dated. But you know, when I was a young man, what was really the in thing was tobacco. Today, that's not... I don't think that's quite as cool as it used to be. But tobacco, you know, and so you about, if you wanted to be in the in crowd, you needed to dabble in tobacco, in alcohol. Today it's more drugs and so on. And so we find those who are unwilling to say no. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. As a young man approaches adulthood, and this might be a little bit more in the adolescent stage, in the early adult stage, he likes to show off. And one reason he likes to show off, because he wants the attention of the girls. And one way to do that is to be what we call a bully. And to maybe pick on someone weaker than you to show your strength. Well, that really is not strength. But you know, as one gets older, the idea of showing off strength comes in a different form. It might be in the vehicle you have. How much power it has. You know, surely that will impress the young lady. What kind of a pickup I can have and how it can roar around. But you know, a good Christian young lady is not as interested in how strong you are or how powerful a car you have as she is in what your ideas are, what you believe, how you talk, and so on. A Christian young lady is looking for a man with Christian character. All right, 1 John 2, verse 14 says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You know, to become physically strong, it takes rest, it takes good nourishment, it takes exercise, it takes fresh air. You know, it's not different in the spiritual realm. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, you need to nourish your heart and your soul from the life-giving Word of God. You must exercise yourself in the graces of the Lord. And prayer is the breath that you need. All right. Now, lest the young ladies think we've neglected you, let's talk a little bit about being beautiful. I suppose, and I don't know exactly how this is. I've had a number of daughters and get a little bit of an idea. I've never been here myself. But I think it's really important for girls to look beautiful. You want to be attractive. But unfortunately, God didn't make you quite right. At least maybe in your mind. There's many girls that aren't as beautiful as they wish. And so they add this, and they add this, and they do something else. And they work trying to make themselves beautiful, you know, primping and excessively. There's millions of dollars that are spent every year by women trying to make something of themselves that they are not. In other words, they just don't have it there to work with. But you know, there are those who will even go to the point of plastic surgery to get that look that they want. We need to admit that the world places a lot of value on good looks. As I was thinking on this subject, my mind went back here, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago. As you know, Ruth had surgery a couple times in Los Angeles. And we've appreciated the doctor there, Dr. Calhoun, who's the surgeon, very personable individual. We've enjoyed working with him. The one visit that, I forget if it was the first time she had surgery or the second, but we went back to his office for a post-op visit. We come to the elevator, his office, I think, is on fifth floor or something. And here, we were surprised. Here, Dr. Calhoun walked up while we were standing there. And he says, well, he says, you're looking good here. Well, Ruth says, you know, she says, probably don't feel as good as what I look. He said, listen, he says, you are in Los Angeles where it's more important how you look than how you feel. And he was trying to be funny, and he was. But, you know, that's true. I mean, we're right there next to Hollywood. And it's so important in the minds of so many people, how you look. And, you know, you can portray yourself as everything is just fine and everything's beautiful. And yet inside, some of those people are just, their hearts are crying because they are not, maybe they're not accepted. Maybe, you know, and certainly not right with God. I have read statistics that say that in teenagers, and I think this goes for both sides of the house, 80% of the teenagers don't like how you look. Maybe you're too tall, you're too short, you have too many freckles, or you have too many pimples, or you're too fat, or you're too thin, or you... you don't like the color of your hair. You don't like the color of your eyes. Maybe some of your features are too large or too small, like me. You know, I was teased unmercifully at my big ears when I was a boy. But I survived. In fact, I even got two wives, even in spite of that physical handicap. But you know, young people, and particularly adolescents, think about this constantly. And think that those of the opposite sex won't like them because of their physical imperfections. But I'd like to tell you this morning, that's not true. It really has nothing to do with it. It is your character. It is the Spirit of Christ that shines through. Your kindness and your love and your gentleness that is an attraction. I found it very interesting in looking at this subject to see that, you know, God does, specializes in making beautiful things. And I think He specializes in making ladies beautiful physically. I was just amazed as I looked through, I went to the concordance and looked at the word fair. So many times in the Old Testament that there was a woman that was fair to behold. Sarah was a fair woman to look upon. Rebecca, very fair to look upon. Rachel, beautiful and well-favored. Bathsheba, very beautiful. The daughters of Job, there were none so fair. Vashti, fair to look upon. Esther was fair and beautiful. We could mention some others. And so, physical beauty is something that God does give. But you know, the Scriptures teach that true beauty is not in the physical. And we can see this with some of these even mentioned here, like Vashti and Bathsheba. Some of the things that they did that were not acceptable, and so on. Okay, in Proverbs 31, verse 30, it says, "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." A woman that fears the Lord is the one that's going to be praised. Favor, it's deceitful. It comes today, it's gone tomorrow. Beauty is vain. And so, I'd like to remind you, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but I'd just like to remind you that beauty is not just in how we appear or how we look outwardly. Now, I am not, in no way am I suggesting that you be slovenly, that you try to be unattractive, not at all. But you know, beauty is not in the showiest of clothes. Beauty is not in the way that you comb your hair. Beauty is not covering up physical blemishes with makeup. Beauty is not in displaying the form that God has given to you. We should not do that which draws attention to self. Don't be a billboard and advertise yourself. That's not what God has for Christian young ladies. Beauty is not in following the fashions of the world. It's not in that new pattern of dress or whatever it might be. And someone has put it this way, young man. If you are prone to judge a girl by her good looks, that is the same as buying a house because of the paint that it's got. And so there's some house that is, the foundation is about gone, it's tumbled down, but somebody put on a fresh coat of paint and you say, "Oh, that's the house for me because of the paint is so nice." Well, that's a little bit the way it is if you're just looking at a woman because of her good looks. Proverbs 6:25, and this is speaking of the evil woman, about the evil woman. It says, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart." So then what is beauty? In 1 Peter, I'd like to read 1 Peter verses, or 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says this: Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And so, what God is interested in, young ladies, is a meek and quiet spirit. That is beautiful to Him. And you know what? You don't have to go out of your way to try to attract the attention of some young man. God knows these young men over here. He knows their hearts. He can tell them when it's time for you to be noticed. You don't have to tell them. And so the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. We have a very similar verse in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. That says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You know, God is more interested in the good deeds that you do than how nice your dress is or how neatly you comb your hair or how physically attractive you are. With good works. That's what God is interested in. I'd like to turn to Psalm 45. I've been blessed looking at this. In fact, as I was looking at this morning, I think I need to preach a message on this psalm sometime. But it's interesting psalm. It's a song in praise of the king on his wedding day. And it's thought that this was written for the line of David, that probably written for some one of the kings that was getting married and so on. And then after the captivity, the people there looked at this more as a prophecy of the Messiah. And so there's things that are said toward the king, there's things that are said toward the one that's going to be queen or the bride of the king. And so I'm going to read verses 10 and 11, and this is some words that are given toward the bride, toward the bride of this king. And keep in mind that this is really what God is interested in. He is interested in a beautiful bride, which we want to look at Ephesians 5 here just in a minute. So Psalm 45, verse 10 and 11 says, "Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him." So the Lord desires your beauty. And what is that beauty? That beauty we find in Ephesians 5, verse 27, that says, "That he might present it," the church, "to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might, that should be holy and without blemish." And so God wants a glorious church. He wants a church without sin, without blemish. And so, yes, all young ladies desire to be lovely. But you know, I believe this morning that if you just let God have control of your lives, there's a beauty that will radiate from you that's irresistible. It will draw others to you, not because of your physical features, but because there is a real inner beauty, the love of Jesus in your heart. I've often had people of the world comment to me, "You know, your young ladies are so attractive. They're so beautiful." Well, what am I supposed to say? Thank you? Not quite sure how to respond to that. But what is it? What is it that makes our young ladies beautiful? Well, I believe It is living a clean life, which does not dissipate the body. It's not trying to be artificial in makeup. It's actually staying away from that which the world would say attracts physically, visually. And therefore, the beauty of your character can shine through. And that beauty is God within you. And so a Christian young man is looking for a beautiful young lady, a godly young lady. And so this morning, at the close of this message and in conclusion, I'd just like to say again, emphasize again, that God is looking for strong men and beautiful young women. And young men, I'd like to remind you this morning that you have the place of spiritual leadership. It takes strong young men in our day to stand up for truth and right, to stand against sin and evil, and don't expect the girls to carry that whole burden, and they need to live right life and you'll kind of come along. It is up to you to take the leadership in being strong spiritually. And today God is looking for young men, those who will make up the hedge, those who will stand in the gap, those who will let the world know that there's a better way. And so who this morning, who of you is willing to lift up a standard of righteousness in the strength of the Lord? And who of you is willing to be holy and to lift up a standard against this sinful and wicked world? Can God count on you? He's looking for those who will do that. And young ladies, can the beauty of Jesus be seen in you? Can people see? Do they know that you have been with Jesus? What is their first impression when they see you? Is a thought, well, you know, she must spend a lot of time trying to just look just right. Or is it, you know, she has a love, compassion, gentleness in her heart that is a beautiful character that all may see. And so let's never be ashamed to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. May we express and may we radiate strength and beauty to a world that knows nothing of great power and of love. We'll call for a closing number in song.